Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Love it. Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Cooling down a little bit. It's always awesome here. Nice day, a little breeze. We've got hockey up in front of us on the 143-foot screen. A reminder tonight, massive one for VGK, and then we'll be scoreboard watching or just watching TV down here with the LA Kings. I was kind of rushing in, and I didn't get to make a bet. Dustin Sweetelson is with us. Is he going to co-host this hour? He's down here all the time with VSIN. I know you're into this to increase interest. I don't buy into they have to win principle. So the Knights are 360, I think, or they 400, and the Kings are 360. I was going to bet on both of the dogs. No parlay. I didn't get the bet down, but I will try to get it down. Am I an idiot?
Well, no. If you're
not
gonna,
a lot of money.
If you're going to bet both dogs and you're going to get plus money, that means we just got to go 50-50 and you're technically up.
Yes. Do I go for the lottery ticket too? I go for the sweep?
You're talking to the wrong person because I'm an enabler, Steve. If you tell me you have an itch to scratch, I'm going to say, buddy, you scratch that thing till it bleeds.
Every answer is going to be, yes, kid, keep going.
Yeah, and I'm going to join you. That's unfortunate for both of us. We're both going to go down together.
Damon, do I do it or not? Do the parlay? You're a parlay guy. I never do parlays.
You got to live a little, Steve. That's all the fun in parlays.
And for VGK fans right now who are listening, you're like, jerk, why are you betting against him? Listen, I've lost, I think, 9 bets in a row. This is good for you. You want to fade me.
Well, it's an emotional hedge too, right? What you want to happen, you bet against it happening. It's a win-win. They win, you're happy. They lose, you win money.
That is part of the problem. And I've never called it an emotional hedge. It's a word salad that I use that I can't remember. I've lost a lot of those bets recently. It's actually worked out for me. I think down 8, third quarter, I'm like, Warriors money line, let's go.
But no. But
and then at the end of the game, I'm like, well, I didn't win money, but God, I am thrilled that, Draymond has taken down another year of the Warriors.
Yeah, but if you lose the bet, it means your team won, so you have to think about it this way. Would you pay this much money, whatever you wager, for your team to win? Yes, you would. Simple as that.
You know, one of the things I like about Stadium Swim, I will tell you that most women have zero interest in what we do.
Yes.
And it probably hasn't led to much success for you with the ladies.
Among many things, yes.
I do like that almost every woman who walks by like stops for a second, they look, and they're like, that's kind of intriguing. And then they look at me, and they're like, not so much.
Yeah, see, it becomes different when it's personal. They see the setup. They see microphones. They see cameras. They go, oh, that must be important. And then they look at us, and they go, yeah, it's probably not that important. It's those two looking guys. There's nothing special going on there. I don't need to look twice. I'm going to go find one of the guys, you know, who paid for a cabana, not the guys who are doing the broadcast out of the cabana.
All right, we got a lot to get through this hour. Damon, you want to build the case again for our going overboard, kind of crossing the barrier I never thought would be broken with the fries at the steakhouse price?
$20 for fries is ridiculous, and if you're ordering fries at the steakhouse, I don't trust your palate.
All right, jump in on this.
All right, so for $20, they better be some awesome French fries.
Like, what can they do?
Here's the problem. The best French fries in the world are like $3, and they're at McDonald's. So you can't do better than the $3 McDonald's French fries. How are you justifying to me $20 French fries?
That reminds me, I actually never texted my French fry insider for the cost of French fries wholesale, if this can be justified.
Oh. No, it's...
I need the information.
No, hold on. But, Steve, that's all sides at a steakhouse. It's the biggest scam in the business. I've never worked in restaurants.
Okay, same place. I will not name the place. Same place. Mac and cheese is now $24. That's high, but I might be able to justify that. Or a baked potato. Here's the thing. With a baked potato, it could be a giant baked potato. It's $21.
Okay, so... Here's the thing. Baked potato and French fries, essentially the same. It's one ingredient. It's potatoes and some seasoning. At least with the mac and cheese, it's like when you get your car fixed. Sure, I know the part is only $50, but I have to spend $150 on the labor. I can justify the markup on some mac and cheese because the labor and the effort and all of the ingredients that go into making that side dish. When it comes to French fries, I hate to break it to everyone. There's only so many ways to skin that cat.
I mean... If you want, tweet at us at Steve Cofield, at Damon underscore the boss. Your Twitter handle?
Dustin Sweetelson.
There you go. Tweet at us and give us a place that is worthy of having a side that fries are $20. Like, how good can they be? There might be a place.
Yeah, sure, but in general, I just think ordering sides at a steakhouse, it's a big misstep. As someone who's lived in this city for 3 years, and I'm just learning what you've had your whole life here, where you've been here, 30 years? People visit all the time, and all they want to do is go out and have the fancy dinner. And you find out how the bill adds up when you start adding on all those sides. Not to sound like a cheapskate, they give you free bread. Free bread is the best appetizer in the game.
For now.
Oh, for,
enjoy it.
That is a valid point.
Enjoy it.
That is another fear.
There are places. We went to a local Italian restaurant with a group at the Super Bowl, and it was very minimal. It was like $2, but they actually did charge for bread, and they sold it as kind of like next level bread. It was good.
That's the beginning of the end of times, though. We're teetering in a dangerous direction when you start making me pay for bread.
I'm worried about the fries. This could be the beginning of the end.
It's not about us. It's about the kids. It's about the future and what they're going to have to put up with. If we start paying for bread, they're going to have to pay for bread. I think if you go to a steakhouse, you get the free bread. You can get a soup or a salad. You get a steak and no sides. It is a perfectly reasonably priced meal, and you will leave happy.
But the fries, that could be, that's a danger zone. That's the danger.
That's a lot. That's a lot of coin for chopped up potatoes deep fried with salt.
So as I mentioned earlier, it's beautiful here. It's very beautiful. I saw a picture in the realm of Mountain West Conference Twitter out of Fort Collins. Spring football. And I looked at the picture and I was horrified. And then I smiled because I'm in Vegas because I want to be here. And that's one of the main reasons. The what I saw in the picture was snow. It is April 18th. How do people do it?
It has to be the only thing you know. Because once you and I, we left the Northeast. Once you leave snow, you can't ever go back.
I don't think you can.
I will never own a shovel until the day I die. They will have to buy a shovel to bury me.
Yeah. Last time I used a shovel, and it's a sad. What's going on? Why are you laughing, Damon?
Dustin's lying about buying a shovel.
Yeah. I don't think I told it. Did I tell the shovel story on the air yet?
No, tell me.
And it's another. It's going to sound like I'm highfalutin because I was talking about having a pool yesterday or 2 days ago about the fat guy with a zipper down. Last time I used a shovel, I was scooping a pigeon out of the pool. It's not a happy story. But he was struggling. I assume it was a he. Slapping in there. He couldn't get out.
Well, he's built to fly, not to swim. Yeah.
I brought him out. You could tell now the wings were weighed down. He probably swallowed a lot of water. And he just, I can't even describe the pigeon because I put it down and it just sat there. And he just put his head up and he's like, ugh. And it was like 3 hours of just being like, oh, my life sucks. And then I went out there 3 hours later after the show and he was gone.
So he was gone?
I assume mauled, and he's somewhere else on the property or flew away. Happy story.
You saved a life.
I think I did.
Could have been free lunch.
I don't... Are there cultures that eat pigeons? Is there any meat on them?
I imagine the pigeon is like the squirrel of the sky, and there are definitely cultures that eat squirrel, because I've met them.
Really?
Oh, I went to college in the Deep South, Steve, and when I tell you the people I know used to tell me, you eat what you kill what you eat, and I said, well, what are you eating and what are you killing? They said, it's a lot of squirrel.
Yeah. I mean, we were discussing steak and, like, how flavorful, how there can be alternate flavors on steak.
Yeah.
You know, grass-fed and all that. I mean, what do you, with the diet of the squirrel and the pigeon, what are you getting?
That's a valid point.
It can't be a taste like chicken.
Kind of bottom feeders of their societies, yeah.
Can they convert all that garbage they eat into, like, tasty meat?
Well, explain shrimp then to me, because I don't know what shrimp
eat. Are shrimp basically just scumbags in the sea?
Yes,
they're like in between.
Are they?
They're like in between an insect and an amoeba.
I do love how I'm not a big shrimp guy, but I do love how willing we are to. The shrimp is like the most obvious in terms of the defecation ready to happen. Like there's just poop down the middle of it, and we're all like, hey, give me some. No, you're not eating the poop. They take it out, but
I've eaten the poop.
All right, I think we're going too far with the taste of stuff. Can we just let's move on?
Some places don't clean it that well.
Along the same discussion, it's completely different. Do you have to NFL draft's coming up. We're going to get to the odds here at Circa in a couple minutes. Dustin Sweetelson's with us. Do quarterbacks – well, you know, I'll say this. If you have affluenza or perceived affluenza, which means you are freaking rich. There was that kid in Houston, I think, who ran over a group, and then the defense was he's too rich. He grew up too rich. He's just too stupid. He doesn't know any better. Could you come from a good background and maybe you were never really tested with adversity and still be trusted to be a dog? And what we're talking about here, and this is not me saying it. I don't know what Caleb Williams' background is. I would never question that. But we had Greg McElroy last week, former Bama quarterback, say that, you know what, he says it here. Listen to it.
The number one thing that concerns me most about Caleb Williams, I look at all the players that have been drafted, number one, number two, number three, way up there near the top of the draft. And seldom are the guys that ultimately go on to become elite players. Every single one of them has a gigantic chip on their shoulder. Like they're mad at the world, or they create some type of false narrative about themselves that people don't believe in them. Caleb Williams has never had that. I mean, Caleb Williams, from the time he stepped on campus at Oklahoma to the time he stepped on campus at SC, he has never experienced adversity.
First of all, is that true? DeJuan, do you know?
I think that that's not true because right before our show, Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, they had on Mina Kimes. And Mina Kimes, when she talked about him being far and away the best quarterback prospect, she mentioned how he can create out of the pocket and the adversity that he faced at UFC with not having the type of weapons that a Jaden Daniels had. I don't know if she was responding, you know, specifically to Greg McElroy, but she mentioned the adversity of having to overcome an inferior offensive line.
Adversity, interesting. I like Greg a lot. I think Greg does great work. Would you say the Manning brothers had to deal with a lot of adversity in their lives? Things went pretty well for them. Tom Brady, aside from being the sixth round pick, he had some adversity in Michigan, but life in general, I don't think it was all that adverse. I think this is a tough thing because you're trying to get inside the brain of Caleb Williams. The great ones, Peyton Manning specifically, he's the first one that jumps out to me. Maybe in life didn't have great adversity, a lot of expectations, a lot of talent. He created his own. He created his own edge. This is about dudes who are competitors creating their own edge. Caleb Williams wasn't the problem at USC, guys. That defense was the problem at USC. That was the adversity he had to deal with in college, is that his defense couldn't make a single stop to keep them in ball games.
You know, if you think about it in general, and again, in general, it's not every case. I feel like the quarterbacks of the world generally have good lives.
Sure.
Now, there can be folks who come from an impoverished background, you know, death in the family, single parent situation. But I feel like from a young age, they're studs. And like their high school days can be super glorious and glamorous. Again, not everybody. So I don't why is all of a sudden Caleb Williams being judged on the adversity scale when you mentioned two of the guys, you know, who come from money and were basically born to be quarterbacks? I don't get it.
Isn't living up to the expectations of a 4- and 5- star player, isn't that adversity? That people, the day you step foot on campus, expect you to perform? Isn't adversity coming in when the starting quarterback gets hurt or isn't playing well and leading the team to a comeback win against a rival? Isn't that adversity? I think this is a little tough. I think he's trying to call Caleb Williams soft, but it's just a poor choice of words.
Bingo, that's all it is. He wants to call Caleb Williams soft because so many quarterbacks, he went longer in the clip, but he's like, oh, Patrick Mahomes, he's ticked off that he was drafted number 10. Well, if that's the case, maybe let's ask Caleb Williams, what's going to be your pretend motivation for your NFL career? Because I remember everybody who was drafted in front of me. Yeah, okay, right. 9 names. So it's one of those things where what's Caleb Williams' drive going to be? What's the story that he's going to tell himself when he gets up out of bed, when he's preparing his Hall of Fame speech, if he is as great as everyone thinks he is? I just had to believe that I had haters. Every athlete does that. We saw it in the Jordan documentary where that guy from the Wizards that he killed because he's just like, oh, I made that story up, but I just needed some motivation for the next time that we played him around.
I'm trying to think of a good comp. You hate the Mahomes comp, right?
I just think they're totally different players. I have questions about Caleb Williams as a player, but let's be clear. You don't draft him number 1 overall, you get fired. Simple as if the difference.
If you draft another guy and he works out, like if No. Listen, there's at least three people I watch, you know, mornings with Greeny, who for months now have said they don't think that Caleb Williams is QB1. See, I think Jaden Daniels is better.
That's fear, though. That's fear. Because I think the floor on Caleb Williams, I don't know what it is. The ceiling is through the roof. I think because Jaden Daniels feels like a safer floor, that's why those guys are saying that. Because it's fear of the unknown. They feel like Jaden is more known. But let's be clear. You pass on Caleb Williams at one if you're the Chicago Bears and Ryan Poles. He goes somewhere else and he does reach that ceiling. You are gone bye-bye because this is a different type of talent. My questions are not the upside. It's what is the downside? What is that floor? I have a lot of concerns about the game because I know he can make the special plays. I don't know if he can make those throws that just move the chains that are so vital to winning football games in key spots.
What are we doing with betting? There's really not a whole lot to bet on Caleb Williams unless you take a flyer on the 2 or 3 pick. Circa's got a lot of cool props up on the board. One of them is the quarterback over-under. I was just looking to see how much it's bumped up, if the over has gotten even richer. As of a couple of days ago, 4.5, the over was 225, so that means 5+. And under 4 is plus 175. What are you doing with this?
So here's what I did. You can go over 4.5 quarterbacks, which I believe there will be 5 quarterbacks in the first round. I think Penix is a first rounder. So because of that, instead of laying heavy juice at minus $2 on over 4.5 quarterbacks, I just bet Michael Penix right here at Circa minus 145 under 32.5 draft position to be in the first round. So that's what you do there. Instead of betting minus 200, go under 32.5.
What if he's not? What if he's not the fifth?
Bo Nix is not going to be the fifth quarterback.
All right.
But so this
come on. For future promos, maybe even a couple of weeks from now, you'll get the job done. Please clip. Bo Nix is not going to be first round. Okay.
Steve, this is a massive misconception in football evaluation. I'm not even an expert. But here's the deal. People look at Bo Nix, they go, he completed 78% of his passes. He must be an accurate passer. He is not an accurate passer. Accuracy and high completion percentage are not the same thing. One is an ability, and one is a result of a system. And Bo Nix is great in that system. And a lot of those concepts are going to be there in the NFL, but you're also going to have to be able to throw guys open. And I don't know if Bo Nix can consistently do that at the next level.
Prop we've been talking about for the last couple days. I see the mock drafts. I think they all cannibalize each other. I understand that basically it's the same concept as quarterbacks. Because the hype before the draft is quarterback, 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 quarterback. So we get fooled into believing there's going to be 7. The under on the quarterbacks drafted prop has hit 6 of 7 years. Yes. I think we're rodding up way too hard on offensive players. And Circa has a prop here. Offensive players drafted in the first round out of 32 selections, 21.5 are going to be offensive. I'm sorry. I mean, I counted like yesterday we were looking at, what's his name, Schrager. And he had like 24. It was 24-8. I do not buy it.
So the number is brilliantly set because I think there's 5 quarterbacks. I think there's probably 9 offensive linemen. I think there's probably 6 receivers plus Brock Bowers. So that puts us at 21 exactly by my math of what I expect to go. If you're betting over 20.5 offensive players, that's because you think one more receiver or one more O-lineman go. The problem with that in this draft class is receivers, it's so deep with receiver talent. Teams are going to wait and get a valuable position, a position that you need, especially on the line of scrimmage, offensive line, defensive line, edge, a premium position in that first round. So if you're going to bet under, you think a team's going to go after a Chop Robinson. He's going to be a first rounder out of Penn State, not a second rounder. He's an edge with a lot of talent. Or one of the cornerbacks, Wiggins out of Clemson, Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. One of those guys go in the first round over a receiver, and I think that's possible. I would look at the defensive side. I think more defenders in that spot.
Let's give away some concert tickets coming up in the summer. Resorts World, Chris Young. Chris Young tickets. He's got a tour going down. Really good country artist. We got a pair of tickets right now. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller number 7. Resorts World is the spot to get the tickets. Chris Young in town, and Damon's got your tickets right now.
Hanging out at Stadium Swim. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, Damon, who's going to be in the field? Kings, Pelicans, Heat, Bulls.
I think you got to just go with the chalk and take the teams that don't have their star players injured.
Kings won against the Pelicans. Heat minus 1.5 against the Bulls. The board is saying, Damon, no.
I like the Kings no matter what. Even if Zion was healthy, I think I would still take the Kings there. But with the Bulls, if Coby White could replicate that performance that he had, I don't know how likely, but the Heat, they are the team that I could see the Heat being more likely of the team to rally around Jimmy Butler being out, because Jaime Jaquez, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, they still have some players that can – they still have a good team outside of Jimmy Butler. He is a star, but he is not that star where Zion for the Pelicans, as the team looks drastically different without him.
The Heat are kind of built to overcome adversity, guys. That's the way I look at the Heat. Jimmy Butler's
their culture, man. No one's got a culture like that.
And I have questions.
That was a joke.
No, I'm big on Heat culture. I buy into Heat culture.
So does Damon.
Heat culture is real. Now the problem.
What does that mean? The roughest, toughest, most durable. All that stuff.
We're gonna dictate the pace of this game, the style of this game. You're gonna have to play in the mud with us. Get in the mud and do it our way. I don't care what your best attribute is. We're gonna take it away. But I have questions. Damon, I have questions about the Bulls, and I have questions about the Kings, because I don't know if their performance is indicative of who they are or who they play. The Bulls beat up on a Hawks team that, quite frankly, was sleepwalking most of the year. They were actually worse with Trae Young in the lineup than they were without him. DeJounte Murray is a much better player, and once Trae Young came back, it limited everyone else. So I'm not sure if the Bulls are as good as they looked last night or if the Hawks stink. And on the other side, I'm not sure about the Kings. The Kings looked really bad down the stretch. They miss Herter. They really miss Malik Monk, sixth man of the year favorite. And I'm not sure if the Kings were as good as they looked the other night, or the Warriors are just old and ready to move on.
I do think that the Kings are that good.
Then why weren't they good during the year, though?
The Western Conference is stacked.
It's like the Moneyball line. If they're good hitters, why don't they hit good?
I think that the Western Conference is just that stacked. The separation between who could have been playing in that play-in or just having that sixth seed already, it's not that big of a difference. Are you telling me that, let's say, the Clippers are far away better, that much better than the Kings or even the Mavericks?
The Clippers are way better than the Kings when they're at full strength.
And are they going to be healthy? I don't want to hear if at full strength.
No, but Kawhi Leonard exists. There's always an if. He is an if human being. If might as well be his middle name. Now, the Mavericks are better. The Mavericks are your best chance in the West to take down the inevitable Denver Nuggets. That is your best chance.
And you really love the Mavericks if you...
I am obsessed with the Mavericks. I don't love the Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks are not the team the stats indicate they are throughout the regular season. Once they addressed everything in the trade deadline, they got better rim protection with Gafford. PJ Washington came in to give them more of a defensive element. Kyrie has been awesome this year. But if you're going to take down Thanos, you're going to take down Nikola Jokic, who is not defendable. There isn't a scheme, there isn't a system, there isn't a game plan or a team that has any way of taking him down. In order to beat him, you're going to have to go shot for shot and stand with him. You know who can do that? Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic is the only guy around who can go on an absolute heater in the postseason and carry his team past Denver. If you don't want to see the Nuggets repeat, the Dallas Mavericks are your best shot.
Not going to argue with you there when you mention matching shot for shot. But what about the Boston Celtics out of the East? I think that's the best shot when it comes to stopping them from repeat. I know we're looking too far down the road in the playoffs, but if you're talking about a 7-game series...
Dustin Sweetelson with us. I will let him answer that in a second after I take a tangent or actually go back to something here real quick. I like the Mavericks angle with the Nuggets, because I feel like the Nuggets, it's funny, people don't look at the Nuggets this way, but the Nuggets are very intimidating.
Yes.
They were very intimidating last year. Like, you'd be in a game, and they're like, no. And then there's no emotion from Jokic. He's just like, it's destruction time. And then I think one of the great villains of the NBA is Mike Malone.
Ooh.
That whole flap with his name. Did he do that to Cassidy Hubbard?
It was a sideline reporter.
You don't do that. But he was very arrogant. And almost he's kind of laughing at LeBron because he knew. He's like, the Lakers don't have it. We're going to play off of this LeBronomania and just laugh at you. I think you're right. The Mavs have the guy who's like, I don't care. I look fat and slow. Like, I'm the guard Jokic. Like, he doesn't intimidate me. I look fat and slow and not explosive, and I can't jump. Here's 58.
Yeah, and if there's anybody for guys like you and I to believe in, it's a fat, out-of-shape point guard who's just doing his thing, getting to the bucket, going shot for shot with Jokic. Here's the thing about Jokic that should terrify everyone, though. He actually hates basketball. He doesn't enjoy any of this. If he ever decided he really wanted to love what he does, oh, man, we'd all be in even more trouble. But he doesn't even have fun playing the game.
The second half starts, he's like, all right, I guess I'll go 28-15 in the second half and 10 assists. Is that what you want? All right.
By the way, the team's not good. The team around, it's him, it's Murray, Porter. Porter every now and then steps up, hits some big shots. Aaron Gordon's a good defender.
It's such a good story.
They have no depth. It's just, and by the way, name me the team that matches up with them. Who has a body you throw at him defensively and they figure it out? Minnesota is awesome in the paint defensively. They have Rudy Gobert. He will eat Rudy Gobert's lunch. It'll be a good lunch because he's French.
All right, so let's Damon, we never got to your Eastern Conference angle. Do you want to repeat it again, or shall I move on?
We can move on.
Because I feel like the segue here is you see people and you're like, they don't care about what they do and they're still awesome. I think you might be awesome at this, but I never thought you really cared about baseball.
Me?
Why are you doing a baseball podcast?
It's my favorite sport.
It feels like a sport that would be like, it's like, you're, I'm not saying you're hip, but I think you're looking to be hipper and younger.
I think you think I'm younger than I am. I think because I'm, again, the chubby factor.
Yeah.
I look more babyish. I look like a giant baby with a beard. Yeah. And I think because of that, I don't have wrinkles. I shave away my gray hair with a fade. Shout out to my barber. I'll never tell anyone about my barber. It's the worst thing you can do is tell anyone where you get your haircut, because then you can't get an appointment. But he does a great job. Great barbers in this town. I think you look at me and you think I'm younger. I'm almost 40, man. I'm 39 years old.
You're also one of the rare chubby guys that I've seen pictures when you were thin, and I'm like, why did you do that?
It's weird.
You're actually like kind of a good looking guy. I think you probably, I mean, you're very self-deprecating. I think you probably did well at the bars.
When I want to be. It's kind of the Jokic
what, good
thing.
Looking?
No,
like, when I want to be good looking, I'll do it again.
Jokic would rather drink beers and hang out with his horses. I'd rather drink beers and hang out with my boys sometimes. And sometimes that's a detriment at the bar. When you got a few in you, you should be, you know, chatting up a nice young lady, asking her questions. And instead, you're being a bit of a belligerent drunk.
Are you still in that weight loss competition?
I am. It's me versus Jonathan Von Tobel. Right
old,
now.
Old JVT. He's not old. He's part of COVID and Company forever. He's a fill-in on the morning shows on Lotus. He's doing his full-time thing at VSiN now, 3-6. Don't change it.
I'm kind of like the in-between, right? Normally it's Adam Hill, and it's JVT. I'm like the in-between both of them size-wise.
Well, I mean, whatever. Keep going. That's a story for down the road. Where are you right now?
Right now, I weighed in 342.
I feel like that's like 8 pounds lost. Where'd you start?
377. 376.
My Lord.
376.
I didn't think you were that big.
Okay. I let things get... this town...
Yep.
Is the worst thing. I moved here in the best shape of my life, Steve. The food in this town, it's also the only place where I've been here 3 years. I spent summers indoors for the first time in my life living here. I'd never spent summers
indoors.
You
gotta go outside. You gotta sweat it out.
No, I will die.
No, you won't.
My heart is not healthy enough to be outside.
So you're down 35? I thought this was an incredibly risky contest for John because he was so much thinner.
But he wasn't. He started at 300 pounds.
Now, I was surprised that... Damon, did you think he was a 300-pounder?
I did not think he was 300.
No, we so there's a...
Just assume every male you look at who is Zaftig is probably 30 or 40 pounds bigger than you think.
So you know Jonathan Von Tobel better than I, longer than I. He's become one of my close friends out here.
I don't really like him, but yeah, I know. Yeah, no, I've known him longer.
That's fair. Yeah. But there's two
that's
two,
fair.
There's two issues I'm fair. Having with him. One, I think he was holding one of his children when he was on the scale.
Yep, I've had that happen before. Not a child. I made a weight loss bet at the station. The guy weighed in sweatpants. I think he had coins in him. I think he had rolls of coins in his pockets.
Second,
and I didn't frisk him.
Secondly, he only lost 18 pounds, but there was a massive jump in his face where he looked much thinner from 2 weeks ago, I think he's juicing. I think he's on.
So now he's got some PED.
I think he's on the Zemp. I think he's on Mounjaro. Yep. I think he's hitting up Balco. He's on the cream. He's on the clear. Him and Barry Bonds are in collusion against me.
Damon, did we just find something out that we should not be calling it the O? It should be the Zemp?
I like the O better. Zemp, it's still good. Yeah. But I like saying the O.
Why are you not taking it?
Why am I
Who
not?
Who would ever
it?
Know?
Steve, I put a lot of bad things in my body to get to this point.
Yeah.
And shockingly enough,
you're a little afraid.
I don't think there's enough research on that for me to put it in my body. And let me tell you, I put some things in my body in this town that I shouldn't be talking about.
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Sorry, I was just going to let that marinate. I listen to your baseball podcast today, and I listen often. It's very good.
Look,
what's the name of the podcast?
It's Double Play, a baseball podcast, DraftKings Network, myself, my guy Adam Burke.
It's good.
We're totally different. So I just love baseball, purity of the game, Mets fan growing up in New York. He is more of an analytics guy. He's into the numbers. So I try to get his perspective on things, mainly to help me with betting because it's not going well to start the year, Steve. But I have an issue with nerds infiltrating sports, and I'm kind of over it. I think there's a reason. Some people played sports, and some people were good at math. And I'm annoyed at how much math is coming into sports now. And in the end, we're all wrong about half the time.
They have no real advantage. It's just a different sort of guesswork that sounds like you know what you're speaking about.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't throw a baseball, so now they're saying, no, but this is why I couldn't throw a baseball, because my BABIP and my FIP and my WAR were off. And if these guys had a better spin rate and better velo, they'd be better. Yeah, no kidding. Just throw the ball and be good at it.
I did hear an important part of the podcast, and it really needs to be a part of every conversation, and that is supposed food expertise, which is not just reserved for the chubby. I do believe that thin people can be food experts. I think we see that in competitive eating. The fatties are out. The thin people are in.
Okay.
They're experts. They have taste, although they eat stuff, and I'm not even sure they taste it.
Yeah.
Barbecue is a big topic on the show. I just went to Kansas City. I'm trying to get more advanced with the barbecue knowledge. You guys had a good discussion. I'm just going to steal it. About sides.
Yeah.
About what are the top sides at a barbecue joint?
I think it's important. Well, first of all, on the skinny note, Steve, big issue here. I don't want to hear skinny people tell me they're a foodie. I find it offensive. I'm literally knocking off like 25 years of my life because of a food addiction. Don't tell me you're a foodie.
Yes, you haven't been dedicated like I have.
I'm going to have a heart attack at some point because of how much I love
for
food.
The cause.
You're gonna
what are you going to do?
You're going to live to 100, but you're telling me you're a foodie. You love food. Okay, cool. I'm going to die because of it. Barbecue sides, really important. Well, two things. Barbecue, we both trust pulled pork more than brisket. That's a hot take. I think, again, it's like Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Pulled pork, high floor, low ceiling. Brisket, really weird with the floor. You don't know what you're getting, can't be trusted. When it comes to sides.
Well, hold on, because I want to build on the brisket take. Damon, do you agree with that, that pulled pork safer to order than brisket?
1,000%.
But I think pulled pork is a lazy order.
Oh.
I want to take the risk, because I like the high ceiling. But I will tell you, I have had brisket at places. So disappointing. Like, a lot recently. And before everyone's like, Vegas sucks for barbecue. I'm not talking about Vegas. I travel all over the West. There's barbecue joints from chains to local places. And the brisket is, it's amazingly up and down.
Yeah, look at me, guys.
You can't give us dry brisket.
I will order both.
Throw it out before you serve it to us.
Steve, I'll order both because you got to test the waters, right? Go back for seconds. That's the pro move here. The problem with brisket is it's just hard to do. It's hard to get right, and I have trust issues with these people. I can't trust they're going to do it right. You have to know where you are, though. In Kansas City, I think you have a better shot at brisket, even though they're more of a rib city, known for the rib, the burnt ends. If you're going to go in the Southeast, you go pork over brisket. You're in Texas, you go brisket.
On the way back, we will talk sides. We will talk the Indiana Fever over-under for wins, and we will get into the Orioles young lineup. There you go.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
I'm looking at baseball tomorrow. We're out here at Circa Las Vegas. Stadium Swim is the site for Cofield and Company every single Thursday. Nice day here, low 80, sun in and out. Dustin Sweetelson sitting in with Tamon and myself, Cofield. Looking at baseball tomorrow, Kansas City, I like the value here. Plus weight, 118 against Baltimore.
Against Kramer?
Yes.
So Kansas City's an interesting team. They've had a lot of really good pitching, a lot of pitching depth. Not a lot of power. Offense, I don't know if I trust if that thing ends up being, you know, if Orioles put up three or four runs, I don't know if the Royals offense is hanging with them. Dean Kramer's a solid back-end guy.
By the way, can I stop you for a second? Should we stop handicapping things unless we're doing first five by the starting pitching?
Depends
this
on what
early
you're
in the season.
Are you betting an over or an under?
I don't bet totals.
All right, if you're betting,
so
but I would just say if you're betting an over, you should definitely play the full game because if it goes to extras, the runner on base adds to more runs. It's simple as that. You're betting an under, I'd always lean with that first five aspect because if it goes to extra innings, you're screwed.
So what's great about my take is I feel like I'm being sarcastic that it's great. Orioles have won four in a row. Mm-hmm. They scored 28 runs in the last four games. I feel like they're trying to infuse too many super young guys in the lineup all at one time. But so far, it hasn't flopped.
It's not going to flop, Steve. They're only going to get better throughout the year.
Are we? That's what people say. Don't be one of those people.
No. But I'm saying
they're only going to get better. Holiday might not be ready.
That's fine. They have Hurstad in the minors.
Cowser, he might not be ready.
Cowser's
you're right. You're right. I don't know what happened in their war room, but over the last 5 years, they were like, in the first five rounds, we're going to draft 73 infielders.
And we're not going to miss.
And then that's the other thing. We're not going to miss. If we do, we don't care. We have 73. Like every it seems like every infielder is not yet with Holiday, but at the double and triple A level, I'm like, how many infielders do they have? There's other organizations that have no one for 10 years.
Well, and so there's other organizations going, we could use those young pieces. And what do the Baltimore Orioles have? They have new ownership. New ownership.
Yeah, that is encouraging.
That wants to make a splash right away and capitalize on this momentum.
I was blown away by that. They were like, you know what? It's time to augment with, you know, big boy players. All prospects are not invaluable. Move them. Get Corbin Burns.
Well, how about this, though? But they have plenty left in the tank. They want to go.
They do.
And the issues they need to address, one more frontline pitcher, one more bullpen arm, maybe a veteran bat or two if they need that down the stretch. This ownership group's going to be aggressive. Who the Orioles are today is not who they're going to be in October.
This guy can really talk baseball. Your podcast again, what's the name?
Double Play, a baseball betting podcast.
So Dustin's in from VSiN with us as we're out here at Stadium Swim. Back to the important stuff. Our barbecue discussion. I was just in Kansas City. I will say this is a recurring theme, and it's not a bit. I really do have trouble. I'm trying to think of how I say it. It's fofu. Fear of effing up. I'm so scared to order stuff on menus because I'm like, oh, I like 19 things.
You ever ask the waiter?
I do. That's my new move all the time, and it usually comes through. I will tell you about 12 years ago, I asked a bartender at a place that had food. All bars here have food. And I was like, hey, what do you like on the menu? He's like, I don't eat this crap. I'm like, all right.
Ringing endorsement.
Like he was super healthy. He's like, I eat this garbage. Like, all right. You're no help. No, I've gotten some really good advice recently.
I mean, you could always look up the Google reviews, the Yelp reviews.
I don't like
before
doing
you
that.
In.
No, because I feel like all the negative stuff comes up.
Well, no, but that,
and then I want to leave.
But that's the point. It's 99% negative. So if there is a glowing review for anything,
that's the filter.
It's probably amazing because 99% of people who complain, or 90% of people who are going to review something, are going to complain.
Damon, number one choice on the sides at a barbecue joint. What are you going for?
Mac and cheese. It's got to be number one.
You're right. In theory, it has to be number one, but I've had some really disappointing mac and cheese. I think there are places that rely on the Damons and Cofields of the world where they're like, we're going to get it anyway. Why are we going to put any time into it? You know, it's so popular now. Screw it. We'll just put anything out there. And then when I get anything, I'm like, come on.
But the easiest side that I feel like a lot of places you can't mess it up, baked beans. you're messing up baked beans, I don't know what you're doing wrong.
You're right.
No, baked beans ain't worth it. You gotta get your money's worth. Baked beans are a cheap option there.
So it's mac and cheese.
I'm a big fried okra guy.
Which is?
Fried okra, battered and deep fried.
And that is so off the grid and revolutionary because most of us know okra as this slimy crap that goes in soup.
Yeah.
And now you're turning the tables on everyone. This is a mind blank.
Yeah, batter
fried
and
fried okra.
Batter and deep fry my shoe. I'll eat it right in front of you.
Okay, so it's more, do it with okra. More of a deep fried thing.
Yeah. It's more of a look, fried green tomatoes. Do that as well.
Yeah, they're good.
A little cornbread.
Fried green beans are dynamite, especially if they're spicy.
But I have a general rule. If I'm going to a barbecue place, though, nothing actually green and healthy looking.
Yep.
No collard greens. I'm sure they're delicious. I know they're cooked with love. But I don't want anything that resembles anything healthy. And by the way, coleslaw, it's not a side. It is a condiment. It goes on things. You do not order it as a side piece.
Damon?
I don't eat coleslaw, so whatever he says, I'll listen. Because it's not touching my plate to begin with.
I will say you mentioned something on that show that I thought was intriguing. I'm in if I can find it. Brunswick stew?
Yeah, I think it's a Georgia thing mostly. It's a Southeast Georgia thing. It's a lot of the meat. At the end of the day, they'll take the brisket, they'll take the pork, they'll throw it into a pot, create a stew with tomatoes, beans, whatever they got lying around. They'll cook it up, make it all soft, and you get a flavor of everything combined. It's a 10 out of 10.
I didn't intro this as the grab bag. We probably should go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Thank you. Okay. I didn't do this for 2 hours and like 55 minutes because I'm so scared right now. And I don't want to make a big deal of it. But yesterday with Caitlin Clark in that press conference and the guy Greg Doyle, I am shivering. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Now, the simple response would be like, act like an adult and a professional. This is a discussion we can have in another time. That ain't good enough. Trust me. They'll be able to find something. I so love WNBA betting right now, and I so love this Caitlin Clark story. The totals are out for wins. The Fever, Indiana's team, was 13-27 last year. The total now, Damon, over under wins, 40-game season, 21.5, so slightly over 500. What are we doing with this? And don't be toxic, and don't objectify.
We're taking the under. I personally don't believe that her and Aaliyah Boston are really just going to raise the floor of this team that much. That's just me.
25 points per game. What does that do for you?
Get your rookie of the year. Maybe a couple of MVP votes. Steve, I know that you're very high on her. I don't think that she's going to come in 25-10 fresh out of the gate. That I just don't believe that that's going to be the case.
Dustin, I feel like you're a longtime objectifier and toxifier, so tread lightly.
I'm an ally, but I would say here, Caitlin Clark has something working against her, and I would normally want to go on the over here. I'd want to go on the over with Indiana. Here's the problem. I heard Sue Bird. I heard Diana Taurasi. All the veterans in that league, they're out to prove a point with her, that she's not as good as the hype because they're jealous and they're bitter of how special she's been the last couple of years at Iowa. I think she's getting everyone's best shot, and most rookies in most sports don't get that.
Jordan got it.
I was a year old, Steve.
Oh, that is so great! What a comeback! Come on, you must love that so much with your screw the 80s and F the 90s. That is a great... Oh, my God. Please, if you ever do anything with us again... This is probably the last time. That is such a great retort to an old radio guy who brings up someone from the 80s and 90s, and it's like, you're so old, your topic is not worth discussing. Gramps. I have no comeback on that one. That was dynamite. That is so great. You know, the funny thing is, people older than me, though, have no problem talking about, like, Wilt. Like, you were far when Wilt played. You have no expertise. Let's get into a conversation about Babe Ruth. You're 58. What are you talking about? Get the hell out of here. We got to wrap it. Get out here any day of the week. Stadium Swim is awesome. But next week, they're going to have their draft parties. This place is dynamite. 143-foot screen. And then Circus Sports is going to have the sound on for the draft. going to be great. Thank you to Circa for housing the show. Damon, good job. Dustin, thank you so much.
Thanks.